When I was in the seminary, we had certain rubrics that were supposed to guide our thinking. One was, I think it goes back to the 6th century. The faith is id quod creditur, habique omnibus et semper. The faith is what has been believed by everybody, every place, all the time. Which, if you've never moved more than 2 kilometers out of your hometown, I mean, you look like me, you look like me, well, it's understandable. But we never got beyond that, really. The other great motto was, nil innovator nisi quod traditum sit. Don't innovate anything except has been handed on to you. In other words, we could be talking about a bloody corpse. You know? An absolutely lifeless entity. And we keep forgetting that wonderful line from Newman, who's responsible for so many. To live is to change, and to become perfect is to have changed often. Change has been the kind of shibboleth, not just of the council, but today too. I mean, there are 700 Catholic priests and bishops in the States who have written to the Vatican, don't change anything. Don't change anything. All those divorced people, all those queers, leave them alone because that's the way it's always been. We're not going to do anything about that. 461 priests in Britain and the British Isles have done the same kind of nonsense rubbish. And they're celebrating a corpse. I don't think that is too hard a way to describe what is going on. It's dead. It's immobile. And we're living in a remarkable age in the church when we have people like Thomas Berry. Some of you may know him as a great ecological theologian. Very aware of the state of the physical world. We live, however, remotely in the shadow of the even greater Teilhard de Chardin, the French Jesuit anthropologist who was silenced by the Vatican because he kept saying that things change, things change. Change is the curse word, you know, for us Catholics. We don't want to change nothing because what we got is perfect, and so it's just a mistake. All this was roiling around in my head on the Feast of Pentecost. What is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is essentially, I put it to you, a spirit of change. Dragging us, kicking and screaming from a kind of solid and solidified past into new and unknown territory. You know, I'm convinced that's why people are so agitated by Francis. Because he's changed so much in all kinds of ways and proposes to change more. So, this is so big. I've been trying all week to get my head around this, and I've not been very successful. But let me make this suggestion. We in the church, for all kinds of historical reasons, have divided personal life, the life of persons, inanimate beings, and totally separated them from inanimate beings. You know. And yet we're all part of the same material. You know. We have evolved. And those figures which have not evolved have died. It's very simple. So there's a movement. In fact, I just read a glorious thesis proposal by one of my former students who wants to combine the thought of Thomas Berry with his ecological consciousness and his deep awareness of the permanence of change in the natural world with church's teaching on sexuality, of all things. Basing himself on a well-known book by a nun who, of course, is in bad odor with the Vatican, Margaret Farley, who wrote this wonderful book called Just Love. Sex, of course, is still the third rail in the church. You can talk about anything. You can talk about anything. Talk about robbery, murder, mayhem. Don't talk about sex. Because that's absolutely unchangeable. It's not. And just because we have lived in this ahistorical bubble for so many centuries and continue to do so on all kinds of grounds, that we're unaware of just how drastically the church has changed in the past, we therefore suggest that the church is to change further. And what all this is going down to is the Spirit. You know, we talk about this, oh, yeah, the Spirit, sure, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We know the Father, we know the Son. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. I would like to propose that the Spirit is the impulse behind all this change, both in the natural world and in the human world. Our evolution of our consciences. I mean, we are aware today, many of us are aware today, that we are absolutely continuous with the rest of natural reality. Absolutely continuous with the rest of natural reality. So the Pope is going to have this big encyclical on the environment, and already people are screaming, he doesn't know anything, he doesn't know anything. And then the whole world was shocked a couple months ago when the Pope said, yeah, of course, evolution is a given. Evolution is a given. What is evolution? Evolution is simply a history of change. We don't know how to get our heads around this stuff. I mean, personally, we don't know how to get our heads around this stuff. I'm amazed and kind of disturbed by myself to see how steadfastly I want to defend past patterns of behavior in my own life and past expectations of my sons and their kids. It's deadly. It's deadly to do that. They can't grow. Again, going back to Newman, to live is to change. To live is to change. And we are terrified of change, especially we in the Roman Church, who've been brought up on this notion of the church never changes anything. Well, that's baloney. And anybody who knows a little church history, or that Wills book that I've been flogging the past couple of weeks, is a whole history of instances of change. And he's not alone. He's not singing outside the choir. He may be unpopular because he's making all kinds of proposals that people don't want to acknowledge about the fact that the church has changed on all kinds of particulars. Yeah. And the instances are omnipresent. We have a green party now. We even have green taxis in London, Ontario. What? To remind us that we really are continuous with nature. And nature changes. Nature changes all the time. And we are part of that universal pattern. And to deny it is to condemn ourselves to death. To mental, moral death. Clearly, it does not happen overnight. It's going to be very interesting to see what happened in Ireland today. They're supposed to have the results. I've not heard the results of the Irish referendum, but I presume that it passed. That's what I thought. My God in heaven, can you imagine? Ireland, land of saints and scholars. You know? Ireland joins the other 21 countries in the world who allow homosexual people who love each other to pronounce that love publicly. No, it's going to destroy marriage. It's going to destroy traditional marriage. It's going to be the great assault on the traditional family. Listen, I know all kinds of gay couples who are some of the best parents in the world. For whatever reason. I'm not a sociologist or psychologist, but it's the fact. So, we need, when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, move us off the still point in our lives that we just soon stay permanently. Yeah. Get us going. Make us responsive to the ecological movement, for example. Because everybody is saying the same thing. You know, the air is going to be unbreathable, folks. We're not going to have any drinkable water in the foreseeable future. Thanks to us. Oh, no, 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 you know, Jeb Bush temporized. Oh, no, 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 this is a bunch of intellectual, arrogant Slavs who just say, you know, there's this global change. He changed his mind 3 times in the same week. It's interesting to watch. But he's not alone. We got the great Ted Cruz, that great spokesman of truth, goodness, and beauty, whose head is firmly planted up his rear end, you know. Obama's a dirty communist Muslim atheist. So the powers of resistance, political resistance, economic resistance, social resistance, are enormous. Enormous. We are supposed to be agents of a new age. There's a lovely line in the book of Revelation. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I make all things new. Renew the face of the earth, we've just been. What does that mean? We're supposed to be the caretakers of the bloody planet, you know? And that's where the renewal needs to take place, I think. The few rhinoceroses left in the world are not going to renew the African veldt, you know, as they continue to be shot, murdered. They and the polar bears and the elephants, the list seems endless, you know? Because the Chinese like to give aphrodisiac elephant horns, you know, to get themselves going sexually. Think of this. This is what we are doing on this planet right now, you know. So, I realize this is kind of scattershot, and I apologize, but I've been battering about 15 ideas in my head all week, and so I hope you can take home something and sort out something that's useful for you out of this mess.